Good evening, everyone, and welcome to RCN Sports Talk presented by The Morning Call. I'm Chris Michael. We're glad you could be with us tonight. Don't forget, if you miss our live airing, the show replays, it's on demand. The podcast is also up and running, and you can see the show on the Varsity homepage of The Morning Call. We have some great guests on tonight's program, a lot of high school football talk for the next 60 minutes. And first, we'll introduce the co-host of the program, and along with some high school features, too, coming up. You want to stay tuned for that, plus our trivia. Co-host of the program, making his second week after a glorious debut, senior sports writer from The Morning Call, Mr. Keith Grohl.
Can't believe they let me come back.
I was going to say, I'm glad you came back, because some people were coming out, leave running out of the studio and never see him again. So I'm glad you're back here.
I like, you still the, like the you chair. You coordinated nicely with the Notre Dame Crusaders with that tie. I didn't get the memo.
I'm more like, I guess I'm more like Palisades with the purple here. I don't know.
Well, as long as you don't bring up any Lehigh questions on the show.
You just mentioned that magic word. No, now you're in trouble.
I owe a quarter.
But I'm excited for this show. I'm always thrilled when we can meet some of the young people who make it happen every Friday night on the Lehigh Valley football scene. And we got one of the best right here with the Notre Dame Crusaders. And I've been saying on radio for years. He is the man. I mean, and Phil, I trust, is one of my favorite expressions. And I just think the world of this
did
guy,
you,
and I think the
copyright
world of
this program. That's pretty good.
I might come up with that.
All right.
I might do that.
Let's introduce our special in-studio guest. Will be with us for the entire program. We have the head coach of the Notre Dame Football Crusaders, Mr. Phil Stambaugh, joined here by one of his assistant coaches, Jordan Hildebrand. And John Moran, one of his outstanding players, is here, along with some other of John's teammates, are in our alternate studio, and we'll be checking in with them from time to time throughout the show, and we'll also have them come on here for our roundtable segment a little bit later on. But Phil, thanks so much for joining us, and thanks for bringing your team with you to this evening.
We're pleased to be here, and thanks for having us on, and it's good to see Keith and see you again, Chris. I always like to come out and promote our program and our kids and the wonderful things that they're doing.
Yeah, we're glad to have you here. We're anxious to talk about the Crusaders. Keith and I did want to ask you a couple questions about Pius and Lehigh, and especially that transition from Pius to Notre Dame. You wanted to start, though, with his playing career. So, Keith, why don't you start with talking about his outstanding high school and college career?
Well, I mean, he was one of the best quarterbacks we've ever had. He's certainly all over the record book. I happen to cover that other school on the south side of Bethlehem. But I get that media guide, and we check these records, and we had a great performance by Nick Shivnisky. I don't think the folks would mind if I mentioned that Nick is from Whitehall, and he had a great performance, sure. 461 yards this past week in a win over Princeton. But when you look at that Lehigh record book, Phil, you're still all over it. How much that you learn at Lehigh, how much being on that stage of the big Lehigh Lafayette game, how much did that prepare you for your coaching career, what you've embarked on so brilliantly now at first Pius and now Notre Dame?
You know, I was very fortunate at Lehigh to have such good coaches. We were always prepared. Myself and my teammates were prepared week in and week out. And that's what I attribute the success I had at Lehigh to, was, you know, I learned how to watch film. I learned how to prepare. And that's all the stuff I've tried to translate to the high school game to get these guys ready. One of the things I like to pride myself on is that I'm working to get these guys to be good college athletes, if they choose to do that. If they don't, well, then hopefully they have a good high school career. But we're trying to run things like a college program would run it.
You know, I was in St. Louis, and I'll never forget this. I was in St. Louis in 2000. And the Rams are my team.
Yeah.
They finally won a championship the year before. I'm in St. Louis preseason. I think it was their first preseason game, and you were there with the Buffalo. And I remember I shouted something at you. I don't remember what I shouted, but I probably was maybe the only person in the Edward Jones Dome that knew who Phil Stambaugh was out there. But how much did NFL taste? You were in a couple camps, I believe.
Yeah.
How much did that help you too? Prepare for coaching?
Well, I bounced around a little bit, and you know, I was fortunate enough to play professionally for about 4.5 years after Lehigh. And what I did during practice was, you know, a lot of times I was involved with the scout team and things like that. So, and even in NFL Europe, where I got the chance to play professionally, I tried to pay attention to how practices were run, what coaches were, you know, focusing on as game plan wise and things like that. And I knew coaching was going to be in my future. At least I wanted it to be. Mm-hmm. And as I was going back and forth in between different teams, I got involved at Pius. I got involved with my former head coach, Frank Scagliata, let me come on and start coaching. And I loved it. You know, I was around it my whole life. And, you know, I was fortunate to coach some very good kids over the years and be in some good programs. And, you know, I tried to give them the lessons that I learned from playing. I tried to transition my playing career into these guys, so hopefully they can have those opportunities.
I was up with a cameraman at a couple of your playoff, your districts and state playoff games over the years when you were coaching at Pius, and it looked like a fun offense. I mean, it looked like the kids were really having fun. It was fun to watch you guys. I remember you played a team from Southern Columbia one year, and they got off the bus. The shortest kid was like 6'3". Yeah. I mean, they were all trees. And you ran them up and down the field, and they were winded on the sidelines, and they eventually came back. But, I mean, does that make it more fun for the players when you have, like, a fun offense and you're out there freewheeling and running up and down the field?
I think so. I mean, our offense isn't based around one guy. It's, mm-hmm. you know, it's the – our scheme is to try and make it difficult for the defense. We want to put a lot of guys in different positions doing a lot of different things, and the better we can execute and the more people they have to prepare for – the better off we're going to be. Mm-hmm. You know, that comes with a lot of practice, but it is a fun thing because everybody could touch the ball at any given time. And you could see, I mean, 7 or 8 kids catch a pass in our games. In high school, that's kind of unheard of, you know. But when we're the best is when we're balanced. So we try and have a good balance. Even though we throw the ball a lot, you know, our offense is a balanced offense.
I always felt you were a little bit ahead of the curve. Now, everybody runs the spread, and everybody, at least a lot of teams, do like a hurry up and no huddle. And I thought you were a little bit ahead of that, and that might—I hate to mention that school again—but some of that might have come from Lehigh, right?
It certainly did. I mean, and that was a big part of what we did was we were trying to spread the defense, make it difficult for them, short passing game, hot reads, and but with a balanced running attack, you know. So yeah, I tried to take what I learned there and apply that, you know, to the high school game. And our what I run now is a variation of things that I took from the professional level and from, you know, what I see on TV in the college level. Mm-hmm. And these kids are able to handle it. I put a lot in, and we the more we can do, the more versatile we can be, the more difficult it is to stop us. And that's what we're after.
I want to bring Jordan and John in the conversation with this question. Last year, when was that transition, and it seemed like you guys, everyone was making a conscious effort to kind of unify everyone. You had T-shirts and to try to bring everyone together, and it seemed like a very smooth transition. Can you talk about last year, you know, John coming to Notre Dame, and also about, you know, coexisting and working together with a new coaching staff, a new school, and yet, I mean, you guys couldn't have gotten any better from week one on.
Yeah, definitely. It was a real smooth transition, definitely, coming over into Notre Dame. Everybody was real accepting and open to the idea. We all, one thing we base off of everything on our team is to treat each other like a family and like how a family would treat one another. So everybody came in, accepted you like a brother, like a son, and it just rolled from there.
Coach Hildenbrand, what was it like for you from a coaching perspective?
Being around Pius and making the transition down to Notre Dame and Green Pond, Coach Mueller opened his arms to us and accepted us like he was a family member to ours for a long time. Coming from a small school setting at Pius and going to a school at Notre Dame with the similar setting, it was pretty easy for us to transition. Mm-hmm. It was almost like we worked together for a very long time, even though it was really a short time.
Having dealt with both schools over the years, and I do miss Pius, I do. It was the only reason I ever would have to go to Rosetta, okay? It's not exactly right around the corner. So, but look, it's the same principles, it's the same family concept, it's a tight-knit school. The only difference to me is that you have a nice sprawling campus over there in Green Pond. But talk about the values staying the same.
You know, that's one of the things that I like about coaching in the Catholic school. The kids are there for a reason. You know, religion is a big part of what we're doing, the family aspect, caring about one another. And we found very similar lines when we went from Pius to Notre Dame. And I think that certainly helped the transition, and it's going to help us in the future. Mm-hmm. We had something that was special at Pius. And when we lost that, we were searching, and we found the closest thing that we could have possibly found to what Pius was, and that's a big credit to Coach Mueller and his staff and the family that was already at Notre Dame for bringing us in. But those values, you know, the Catholic education and seeing these kids and then them going through the halls every day and knowing that somebody cares about who they are and what they're doing, you know, that's. You know, I feel good about that, mm-hmm. and I think the kids respond to that, and the families that are sacrificing to put those kids in that education environment, you know, they're going to benefit from that in the long run.
Our special in-studio guest, Phil Stambaugh, head coach of the Notre Dame Crusaders football team, joined this segment by Jordan Hildebrandt, assistant coach, and John Moran, one of his outstanding players. We're going to talk about last year's success and this year's success so far in just a moment. But right now, let's unveil tonight's trivia question to give you a chance to win tonight's special prize. Same question as last week. I had some pretty good guesses from last week, but we never got a correct answer. So we're going to try it one more time this week. Which college football program has the highest percentage of time spent in the Associated Press Top 25 poll? Again, we had several people guessing incorrectly. I don't want to say what they guessed because that might give it away, but we still need the number one team. Which college football program has the highest percentage of time spent in the AP's Top 25 poll? And here's more information on how and what you can win.
You could win a $10 gift certificate to use to see the latest movies and the hottest music, sports, and pay-per-view events on RCN On Demand. You can only win one gift certificate every 4 months. But if you haven't won a prize in the last 30 days, you may be able to win another great prize. Call or email us right now with your trivia response. Callers get priority. But if we don't get a caller with the correct answer during tonight's live sports talk show, we'll take all email responses and conduct a random drawing on our next live show to determine the winner. Watching the show on replay or VOD? Send us your guess now, and you just might win an RCN On Demand $10 certificate. Good luck with Sports Talk Trivia.
All right, that question again. Which college football program has the highest percentage of time spent in the AP's Top 25 poll? We can say it's not Lehigh. Are you? Can I say it again?
You can go ahead. Get it out.
Or, there. It's not Lafayette.
The hole's getting deeper for you.
I know. I won't be here next week, so you can move right on. I wanted to ask you about last season because it was a magical run. You had that transition, and you didn't miss a beat. What was it like going in? I think a lot of people didn't realize how talented you were because everything was Saucon Valley, and then Southern Lehigh is probably the next team to beat. I think you kind of surprised some people, but what was 2015 like?
They couldn't figure out how we were taking two groups that had very different 2014 seasons, and we put it together in such a quick amount of time.
Yeah.
But Coach Muller and I mean, and our coaching staff, we spent a lot of time trying to bridge that gap as quickly as possible. We knew we were going to have a talented group. We knew that we were going to have an opportunity to win. Mm-hmm. And despite what had happened for them the year before and where we were coming from, we realized what was ahead. And, we got the kids on board right away because that's what it took. It took them accepting one another. It took them understanding that they now had more people to trust, more people to guide them. And it was successful. But I think there was a lot of people that were doubting whether that could happen or not, and we weren't. Our program understood that that was something that was going to happen. The kids were hungry to win at Notre Dame, and we put some things in place, and it took off.
For you, it was a different world. I mean, you were scheduling, basically trying to piece together a schedule. You would take people from what? I used to talk about your
New
road
York and
your
New
road
Jersey.
Travel. Yeah. I mean, it was an expensive budget just to get to these venues.
Yeah.
Steelton High Spire and Western PA, I think you had a trip out there. For you, it had to be nice to know that you're going to be in the Valley. And yet there was a challenge because there's good football, as you know, in the Colonial League. The Palmertons across the board. Northern Lehigh has had success. Penn Argyle across the board. Everybody's had their turn, I believe, in the Colonial League. But how much more difficult was it for you now to have to prepare for people that you didn't know and didn't know you?
You know, from being in the area, we had an idea of what the programs were about. We knew who had success. We knew that there was state championship caliber teams in the Colonial League. I wasn't by no means overlooking anybody, and I still am not. I mean, I think it's a very competitive league, mm-hmm. and we're working hard every week to have success. This isn't happening by accident, you know. But yeah, we used to spend a lot of time on 78 and Route 80, traveling all over the place. So now to be in your backyard and develop these rivalries, you know, it's special. It's fun. You know, it's something for us to prepare for every week. And I'm happy to be in the league. You know, we got in it indirectly, but I'm happy to be here.
How many times did you were a part of that pious family that tried to get in the Colonial League and they kept rejecting it?
For many years, and it was
frustrating.
Yeah, it made it difficult. You know, so now we're in the league, and Pius isn't in the league, but, you know, myself and Jordan, you know, we are Pius. I mean, and we always will be. You know, now, you know, what I say to the kids is my alma mater is gone. It's never coming back. Mm-hmm. So I've adopted Notre Dame as being my new family, and they've accepted me and the things that we wanted to do, and I think it's going to be a good relationship for a long time.
Jordan and John, what was that first year like playing those teams for the first time and you know, seeing some venues and playing those Colonial League teams week in and week out? Was it a little bit easier on the travel and just kind of the overall planning for games each week?
It was definitely exciting to be able to finally go out and play all the teams that you grew up in the neighborhood, listening and hearing they're doing this, they're doing that. And it was great to go out there and you know a lot of guys from the area, you're friends with a lot of guys, so it's... When you're out there, you're not friends, but after you can talk about it and how the game went.
Jordan, did you think it was any easier with all the teams right here in the Lehigh Valley?
Well, time management-wise, as a coach, it was excellent. you know, after practice was over on Friday, you can go and spend time with friends, family, and not have to drive 2 hours and 45 minutes to check out your next opponent. Yeah. But being home in our backyard, being able to go and see some friends that coach for other teams, and that grew up around you. It was a fun thing. It was a challenge. And, you know, for me personally, it was great because I didn't get the opportunity to be an athlete in the Colonial League, mm-hmm. unfortunately. But it was a great thing for us, and we accept it.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. I have a couple people that want to weigh in here and also take a shot at our trivia question. So let's go first to Allentown and talk to Steve. Steve, welcome to RCN Sports Talk, presented by The Morning Call.
Hey, thanks, guys.
How are you this evening?
Good. How are you guys?
Good, good.
Fantastic.
It's free coffee day, so I'm ecstatic on 17 cups of coffee. Yeah. I think you wanted to take a shot at our trivia question.
Yeah, the trivia, is it Ohio State?
Yeah, Ohio State is correct. You got it. 77% of the time they have been in the Associated Poll. Oklahoma was next, 71%. Then Notre Dame, that's got some guesses. Alabama also got some guesses at 69%, 68%. And then Southern Cal rounds up the top five. But Ohio State has been in the most. So, Steve, you knew that one off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head. But
got a little help from the internet, didn't you? Hey, I would have looked it up, too.
Yeah.
Good job,
that's
Steve.
That's the tricky part, is trying to find these questions. You can't just Google right away and find them. So. Steve, anything else for us this evening?
Can I just say... A nice hello to Phil.
Absolutely.
I'm an old friend. My name's Steve Lynn. I wrestled him back in the day with him. Played football with him too.
I remember the name.
Yes. So how was he as a wrestler? I know he was a great football athlete, but what about wrestling?
Oh, he was a great wrestler. It was fun to wrestle. he did an outstanding job when we used to wrestle all the time. But I just want to tell him good luck with Notre Dame football, and I've been keeping up with him, seeing how he's doing. But he's a tremendous coach, and thanks. Notre Dame got a good future with Phil being there.
Thanks a lot,
Steve. All right,
Steve.
Great
word,
Steve. Thanks. Yeah, you are three. Real quick, you are three. You were a great three sports star.
I didn't know wrestling, though. I didn't.
Baseball, I mean.
Yeah, baseball, I knew.
I mean, did you ever have a shot at maybe going professional in baseball?
No, I mean, I love playing baseball, and that's something that I did at Lehigh. I did that for the first 3 years. But football ended up taking me a little bit farther. Honestly, going into college, I had more offers for wrestling than I had for anything else.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and at Lehigh, that's a prime place to go for wrestling.
And I can't say that I didn't consider it, but, you know, football and baseball were ahead a little bit. And I was tired of losing weight.
Yeah.
Even though I only really had to do that. I should clarify, only my senior and junior year did I really have to lose weight. Because I was about 215 playing football, and I had to go down to 89. There was no 220 weight class. Mm-hmm. You know, that's all new.
John, before we let you go back and join your teammates here, are you looking at colleges, or what are you looking to do after the football season?
I'm actually looking to see where I can get offers from not only athletic but also academic scholarships to go and pursue my hospice nursing career.
Wow, excellent. I want to get your take on being in the Colonial League, too, coming from Pius. The media attention you get, I mean, there's a lot more media attention, I think, at Notre Dame, being in the Colonial League. I know we, as a newspaper, have
a guy assigned to the Colonial League. Pius, Phil did what he could. You know, you were a one-man publicity department there. And it was tough. It was tough. But now you know if you're having success, you're going to get TV people. You're going to get print people. That's got to mean a lot to you as well, John, right?
I mean, having the media and everybody around is always great and all, but really everything comes down to what's going on within the team ourselves and whether or not we're having success and whether or not we're feeling good about what's going on. We're not really focused about what everybody outside our team is having to say about us.
It's a great approach.
Did you find it a little bit different now? Because there was obviously a target on your back now with all the success you had last year, along with Saucon Valley. And, you know, that seemed to be what most coaches were saying, Notre Dame, Saucon Valley, as the two teams to beat. Is it a little bit tougher now this year with teams kind of gunning for you a bit?
I mean, we have to come out. We don't take anybody lightly. We have to always come out like we're playing for the Colonial League Championship every week because everybody's looking to knock us off because that's what they want to do. We're everybody's Super Bowl. That's how we take the approach.
You know, I think some people kind of underestimated both you and Saucon Valley this year because they looked at some of the guys you lost at graduation. And Saucon Valley lost Evan Culver, Thatcher, the quarterback, Harkin, some of the wide receivers. But both teams had a lot of people coming back. Could you talk a little bit about having a – I mean, just about all the guys you have here are 2- and 3-year starters.
Well, you know, we were returning a lot of kids. And, you know, one of the things that people would ask me when they saw us was, well, where did this kid come from? Where did this kid come from? And I said, well, they were here last year. But, yeah. You know, Trey got a lot of press last year and some of our other seniors. And Destin was our leading tackler who's now at Lock Haven. Both of those guys are starting as freshmen in college, you know. And they did underestimate the fact that, you know, those two good kids left and the senior class that we had left. And, you know, but I'm not surprised by what we're doing right now. I knew our experience was going to carry over, you know. And, you know, I'm happy about where we're at right now, but we're pushing for more.
Just want to sneak in one. You've gotten off to slow starts. I mean, I'm out of different games and here I'm like been surprised the last couple of weeks what the scores have been at halftime. You want your guys to pick it up a little bit earlier in the game, or what's your thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, last week the game against Salisbury was 0-0 at half, but we had 237 yards of offense in the first half. We just had untimely penalties, and we had a mistake on fourth down. You know those types of things. But what I was happy to see is when I went into the locker room, the kids were already on page. They already knew, okay, that was the first half, here comes the second, and it wasn't like a panic mode thing. Yeah. And that's where I think the experience is starting to take over. Yes, I would love to be up bigger in the beginning of the game, but, you know, I think it's a mark of a good team to be able to win in those situations too.
Palmerton this week, and Palmerton after getting off to a slow start, they won a couple in a row. They pose some challenges, right?
Yeah, some big challenges. Stasco is having an outstanding year, and so is Pershing.
When he's healthy,
and they were very good. They were very good last year, and we played them in under similar weather conditions last year. And like I said, and maybe a lot of people don't believe this, but we're not overlooking anybody. We don't expect them to overlook us, and we're certainly not overlooking them.
That was a great point, actually, because last year, I know when you were tested, I mean, you had a lot of blowouts. But in games you were tested, especially when you got the districts and then states, you guys did a great job of adjusting. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because you got to, I mean, the coaching staff not only has to make adjustments and realize where problems were or where a team might be adjusting, but you have to have the players that are smart enough to make those adjustments and listen to you and then go out and execute. So was that, you know, a major thing as far as the success, especially later in the season when you were seeing tougher teams making those adjustments and then having the players kind of respect that and respond to your words?
Well, practice-wise for us is a game, and I think that's where the transition comes in for change for our kids. We put them in different situations during our practices, third down and long, 20 seconds to go in the half, losing by 4 points, losing by 8 points, and I think our practice habits carry over into the game, and that makes it a little bit easier for our kids to transition when it comes into game situation.
Yeah. Well, to ask you real quick, Phil, and anybody, what do you think of the new classifications? You're in 3A. You were at Notre Dame perennially a 2A, I believe. Yeah. Your thoughts on the 3A classification and the 6 classification setup here?
I like the 6 classifications. I think it brings in new rivalries. I think it brings in new excitement to the state playoffs. Mm-hmm. And I think we're in a good position in the district playoffs and in the state playoffs in 3A. And I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that we're going to compete for a state title as long as we stay focused on what we're doing week to week. you know, but we're making a conscious effort to look, because last year I don't think we looked to that. We were happy because of the situation to win a district title. We weren't pointed past that collectively. And this year I've talked more about it because I want the kids, when we get to that point, I want them to expect to be playing week 13, 14, 15, 16.
And do you have eight teams make it in 3A? I'm still trying to adjust the 11, different classifications.
8 out of 11.
So you have 8. So you'll have 3 weeks, and then you start your state playoffs.
Yes.
3 weeks of.
So that'll be a little bit different.
County folks in that classification.
Tamaqua, Lee Heighton, North Schuylkill, and who's the other one?
Pine Grove.
Jim Thorpe's up there.
Jim Thorpe. And Pine Grove from the Twin Valley.
All right, our special in-studio guest, Phil Stambaugh, head coach of the Notre Dame football team, Coach Jordan Hildenbrand, and wide receiver John Moran. We're going to take a break and be back with more in just a moment. But right now, it's time for highlights from our Washington, D.C. Game of the Week with our DKN Sports Minute.
This is a DKN Sports Minute. The 2-1 Wilson Tigers hosted the 2-1 Roosevelt Rough Riders. Wilson came out firing. On only their third play from scrimmage, senior quarterback Stephen Williams Jr. hands off to sophomore running back Amir Gerald, who turns on the Jets and flies into the end zone. Tigers go up 7-0. On their next drive, Wilson marches to the Roosevelt 30. Stephen Williams drops back and hits number 2, Sean Savoy, deep in the corner of the end zone for another score. Wilson goes up 14-0. From there, the hits just kept coming. Stephen Williams and Sean Savoy connect on a simple screen over the middle. Mr. Savoy hit the corner, and it's a track meet to the end zone. Wilson scores again, 21-0. The Tigers were just too much on their side of the ball. Stephen Williams hits number 13, Michael Wise, in the corner, just outside of the end zone. Next play, number 4, Anton Reed crosses the goal line. The Wilson Tigers shut it down on the Rough Riders. Final score, 42-7. This has been a DKN Sports Minute.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk, our special in-studio guest, and joining us here at the center table, Phil Stambaugh, head coach of the Notre Dame football team, Jordan Hildenbrand, and John Moran, and some of the other captains are here. 8 captains, I believe, are here, and they can give them a wave, and we're going to hear some stories from them in just a little bit here. They look like they're asleep. You must have really ran them hard today.
Yeah, we worked them real hard today.
Well, granted, those are comfortable chairs, so they, you know, they look comfortable there.
I like the uniforms, by the way. Is that, have they had them for a long time? Or
That's something that we do as part of our summer workouts when we're going to the passing scrimmages and stuff like that. The kids purchase those, and then they're able to keep them. So it's an alternate jersey for us. But we like them, and we like the theme of the gold. And it, for us, it represents what we want down the road with our goals. So that's another reason that we wear them.
I like the big numbers. As a guy who's getting older, cannot see from the press box, I really appreciate the bigger numbers.
Now, John, you're in the power seat here. Any stories you want to tell about these guys while you have the mic?
They're
kind of a captive audience?
It's just there's a lot of interesting stuff that goes on between all of us. We're real close. Like, we're basically a real 8-man family, really, what's going on with down to it. We tell each other everything. There's nothing, like, secret between all of us.
A few of the guys are blushing now, so I don't know if there's some secrets that they don't want to tell. Oh, they're still quiet. All right, we'll get to them in just a little bit. We'd like to bring in a special guest joining us on the phone line, another coach that has had a lot of success during his tenure, the head coach from the DeMatha football team, the DeMatha Stags, head coach Eliza Brooks. Coach Brooks, thanks for joining us on Sports Talk tonight.
Oh, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Congratulations on a great season so far. I saw in the preseason rankings you were ranked in the top 10 in the nation, according to USA Today and several other newspapers and outlets that are out there. You moved up to 5th, and then now the highest I've seen is 4th. What's this season been like? I know you're used to success at DeMatha, but I think that speaks volumes to both you and your program's reputation over the years, that you came in highly ranked, and then you've done nothing but moved up the charts ever since.
Yeah, it's a good feeling, you know. So far, we're off to a good start. The players are playing well. They're executing game plan week in, week out. We have a tough matchup tomorrow night against St. John's out of D.C., who's also nationally ranked. But we're just looking forward to coming out and playing the math of football, and hopefully we can keep it going.
Yeah, you mentioned the big game against St. John's. They come in ranked 22nd. I'm guessing the line play is going to be big. You have a big line. They have a big line. You both like to run the ball a lot. What do you think some of the keys are for Friday night's game against St. John's?
You know, in a game like this where emotions are high on both sides, I don't think either team wants to dig themselves a hole and let the other team jump out to a fast start. So I definitely think keeping emotions under control, not letting penalties get a hold of your team, and then whoever wins the turnover battle, I think we'll have a good shot at coming away with the win.
Coach, I looked on your website, and what a marvelous athletic program you have. Obviously, when we think of DeMatha, I think of Morgan Wooten and one of the great basketball coaches in this country and one of the great basketball, high school basketball programs in this nation. Have you been able to incorporate football and have the great run in football while also maintaining great success in the other sports down there?
You know, I think it all the credit goes to the kids that, you know, decide to attend DeMatha. You know, we take great pride in, you know, trying to attract kids who want to be the best at whatever their interest is, whether it's athletics, music, academics. So we have a lot of kids with similar makeup, and, you know, everyone wants to excel in whatever they participate in. So obviously, you know, as a football coach, I like to have guys who want to do well. But our school does a great job of attracting kids in all sports who want to compete on a high level and be the best.
Coach, the challenges in Washington, D.C., great competition. Do you have to play, you try to play like a non-area schedule? Do you try to get out and see different parts of the country and face teams, great teams from elsewhere?
Absolutely. You know, year in, year out, we try to gauge our program and to see where we are. And, you know, so we like to travel outside of our conference and play teams in the Mid-Atlantic and down south and Midwest. And it's just a good experience for our kids to play different places and play against other kids. And, you know, we consider ourselves a college preparatory program. And, you know, having that opportunity to travel and stay in hotels from time to time and play against some of the top teams in the country, you know, definitely pay dividends in the long run.
Do you have some Division I kids you could tell us about that a lot of our viewers would know?
Yeah, starting with our quarterback, 3-year starter, Bo English. He's an Air Force commit, mm-hmm. Having a fantastic season. Chase Young, who's rated the top player in the state, defensive end, committed to Ohio State prior to the season beginning. Our left tackle, Marcus Miner, who's also been a 3-year starter, committed to the University of Maryland last month. Grant Donaldson, inside linebacker. He'll be heading with Bo to Air Force. And we have another defensive end, Greg Rose, who just committed to Robert Morris on Monday with several seniors who will be getting offers as the season continues.
Our phone guest is Elijah Brooks, head coach at DeMatha football program. Coach, as you well know, you've won 3 straight WCAC championships. You're gunning for a 4th. Could you talk a little bit about your league, though, and how strong it is? You have some good competition built into your schedule year in and year out as well.
Absolutely. You know, we have a great out-of-conference run last year, and, you know, we were ranked as high as 3 in the country. And fortunately, we came home and lost in the league to D.C. Power Gonzaga. You know, this year it looks like St. John has a tough, very tough team. And then 10 out of the last 12 years, we faced Our Lady of Good Counsel within our league for the league championship. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're sitting at 5-0 right now, but it's, you know, the league is what matters, and we know that it's always a tough outing to play games week in, week out in our league.
Coach, before we let you go, you're going to be on ESPN again in a couple weeks when you take on Our Lady of Good Counsel. You've been on ESPN before. What's that like to be on in front of a national audience? I know it's a lot of extra work for you, and you have to have meetings with broadcasters and so forth. But is there a little extra anxiety, or is it a little bit tougher to keep the kids focused on a week like that when there's so much national hype?
I think, our program is comfortable with the national coverage. Mm-hmm. Many of our guys have played on national TV, multiple times, but we don't take it for granted. It's a fantastic opportunity for many of these guys who might not go on and play in college. To have this type of experience is phenomenal. But we just try to keep everyone focused, keep the main thing, and not make the game bigger than what it is. But without a doubt, it's always fun playing on ESPN.
All right. Well, Coach Brooks, thanks so much for joining us. Best of luck the rest of the way, and especially this Friday against St. John's.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate you having me.
It's our pleasure. Elijah Brooks, outstanding head coach at the DeMatha football program. Another nationally ranked season for DeMatha, starting off 5-0 and winning their games by a decided margin. All right, time in our program where the co-host takes over and gets in the spotlight. It's tentatively called Groller's Grumblings. We're still trying to figure out a perfect name. You can vote on that if you want. But Groller's Grumblings, it's where the co-host gets to weigh in and sound off on anything and everything on his sports mind. Keith?
Well, I told you I was going to throw in a little pet peeve every week.
Sure.
And this one applies to everybody. Look, if you're in the left lane, okay, keep moving. I mean, Phil, you can relate to this. I'm coming down the back. The left lane drivers drive me insane. And you're supposed to keep moving. Keep moving, going through. You want to pass. It's a passing lane.
There's someone on our staff who always drives in the left lane, too. So you.
But I don't. Look, if you want to go slow, no. Please, my wife goes slow. Stay in the right lane. That's my pet peeve. With the Groller's Grumblings, Penn State has got to do a better job. I got to mention Penn State. I know it's sacrilege to criticize James Franklin and Penn State, and we know
they will get angry emails for that. I found that out a couple years ago.
I know, and I keep hearing about the sanctions, but can we move forward? I mean, the sanctions, I don't believe, had a lot to do with Michigan jumping out to 28-0. I could be wrong. But I like USC on the West Coast, and USC is not. They were also hit with some sanctions, and they haven't recovered either to an extent. But that mostly has to do with poor coaching hires. But I think Penn State has got to do a better job, and maybe they will. They get back at home. They play better at home. They have Minnesota this weekend, so maybe the turnaround. James Franklin is preaching patience. And that we probably owe him that patience. And on the positive side, just a lot of good work doing on a charity front. Remember that this Emmaus Freedom Gold out is this week. I just got an email that I believe Northampton and Parkland Volleyball. Now, remember, Parkland Volleyball, very, very strong. They're also going to stage a gold out to benefit the Angel 34 organization founded by Doug Sheriff, who was the former athletic director at Saucon and lost Nicole Sheriff at a very young age. Good organization, good work. So I have some negative, and I have some positive for you.
How about House Nick's House Calls for your segment? That has a better ring than Groller's Grumblings. All right. Phil's going to stick around. We're going to swap out some more players in here, bring some of John's teammates up here, and play a little roundtable, mix of local and national topics coming up in just a little bit. But for this time out, the Colonial League Golf Championships were held this past week in Bethlehem. There was no shortage of outstanding performers. We had a chance to catch up with some of the top placers on both the Colonial League boys and girls teams.
So my first six holes were pretty rough. I started off six over, six straight bogeys. Then my next 10, I played in one under, which is good. And then I finished bogey-bogey, which wasn't too good, but still ended up with a 78. And I was happy the way I grinded through the round and didn't give up after the first six holes.
Season overall was pretty well at the end of the season. The beginning of the season was a rough season at first, then it started getting better.
It's a lot of practice on the course and off the course, a lot of hitting balls on the range. I mean, I wasn't able to come out here this year, which is why I don't think I played as well as I wanted to. I mean, in addition, like, the course was playing hard today.
I played pretty well. I had a couple of bad holes, but I was able to come back and make some good pars and finished with four pars in the end, got up and down a lot, made a lot of putts. My first hole, I hit a great drive down the center and then hit my second shot to about 5 feet and made a birdie. and went pretty well after that as well.
Well, I kind of said, you know, one of my goals back in December, you know, to play well in this tournament and hopefully, you know, try and get an individual and a team win. And, you know, I worked a lot with my coach. I started working with the coach in December, and I worked really hard with him all throughout the winter and all through this summer, and played in a lot of tournaments just to get myself acclimated to tournament pressure and the atmosphere that I would face today. And just I tried to prepare myself in that way the best I could, you know, trial by fire and just, you know, working hard on my mechanics and my mental game with my coach.
As a team, we've played really well this season. Drew and I have both been playing well and been neck and neck the whole year. I think we finished up 13-0. I know we didn't lose. And, I mean, now I'm just looking forward to postseason.
It's been a successful season for us. We had big goals to start the year, and we lost a bunch last year. So to be here at Leagues and playing against Moravian Academy, our rival, it really says a lot about how far we've come this year.
Preparing for today was difficult because it's really hard to get out on this course during the week and other times, but we just practiced really hard and we got a little bit of downtime, which was nice.
Just a lot of practice throughout the season and just trying to like stay relaxed as you play the holes.
It was just a calm sort of match, and I just played my game really and hoped for the best. It was a fun day. My season was pretty successful. My average was an 82, so it was a lot better than last year, and it was a lot of individual and team success, so I'm just glad that it is ending on a positive note. I still have districts, but for the team-wise, it's nice to finish.
My best hole today was probably number 6, the par 5. I hit a great drive down in the middle of the fairway, and then hit a hybrid up onto the green from about 230 yards, and just a two-putt birdie, you know, nice easy birdie, so that was a good hole.
My favorite hole was the par 5 on the front, because I did really well and had a great ending result.
No, I guess I should just say thank you to my coach, Mr. Wise, and then my parents as well and my team. It's been a great season, and hopefully it continues.
Welcome back to RCN Sports Talk. Continuing the conversation with our in-studio guests, we're joined by Phil Stambaugh, head coach of the Notre Dame football team, and also joined this segment by Austin Collius and Mitch Daniel, two outstanding football and basketball players. You guys play another sport in the spring?
Baseball.
I play baseball.
Oh, you play
well,
baseball,
yeah.
Too. Yeah, Notre Dame is a good team there. Do you want to talk about the uniform controversy? We have some guys complaining about the nice
lineman,
uniforms.
The big linemen were in 77.
What's the story here?
Pretty nice, but little restricting. Can't breathe. It would be nice if I could breathe in a game a little bit, but I mean, if you look good, you play good. So it's pretty nice when your coach can make
your jerseys. Yeah, makes you look slimmer,
right? I like to think that, but when somebody else says it, you know, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, well, the skilled position guys, they seem happy with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy for them.
Number one looks comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, weigh in here.
I'm prime time. I'm always comfortable.
Well, you guys have certainly looked comfortable off to a 5-0 start. Yeah, Palmer didn't this weekend, and I know you don't want to jump too far ahead. I think everyone in the media is looking ahead to Saucon Valley a little bit, but Palmer didn't has a good team. They're healthy now. What are some of your goals and some of the things you'll be looking to do against the Bombers this weekend?
We're going to be looking to just drive the ball down the field and finish drives. Last week against Salisbury, we were driving on them and we couldn't seem to finish the job. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're going to be focusing on this week.
Awesome.
And then to key on what John said earlier, we're more worried about how we're playing and what we're putting into the game. We're still going to be ready for Palmerton, though. Mm-hmm. Keen in on their stuff, but it's more about how we do.
Now, I want to ask a question. Phil, you might want to cover your ears here, but since you guys excel at other sports, which is your favorite sport to play?
Definitely football.
Definitely football, yeah. Okay.
I'd have to go with baseball if I had to choose.
Okay.
That's my sport.
But in high school, I would have said baseball, too. You know, it was whatever sport I was doing. And I encourage these guys to play multiple sports. I know
you have to. When you're either pious or here, you have to encourage that.
I couldn't justify telling these guys to be one-dimensional when I wasn't that way. Mm-hmm. And I was encouraged to do that. And I really think that it benefited me in other sports, you know. I cheer these guys on and encourage them to play other things, you know.
But I do want to ask, I mean, I cover basketball and get to see it during basketball season. You're looking forward to a good year. Colonial League, always competitive. Bangor's been on top the last couple of years. What are your thoughts on basketball?
Yeah, we got a bunch of new guys coming in this year. A lot of guys trying out and a lot of returning starters, so I think we should have a good year.
What's going to be the key? What's nice is they've I think there's going to be less overlap. If you go all the way to the state finals, that's just the opening weekend of basketball season. So I think you can make that switch over to basketball pretty quickly this year. Looking for that? Is that a good thing, Mitch?
Yeah, honestly, I'm only focused on football right now. I haven't even thought about
good
basketball.
Good response.
We want that. Well, I hope their basketball team has that problem. That we're playing the state playoffs.
December.
And they're a little bit behind basketball. I mean, I wish them the best, but I hope we have that problem.
Yeah. All right. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll have some roundtable topics for these guys. But our final feature of the evening, the Whitehall field hockey team has won 4 in a row, including a win over previously undefeated Liberty this week, along with beating Bethlehem Catholic in the Zephyrs' first and only game on grass this year. Our Sports Talk cameras caught up with Whitehall to talk about this year's success.
We have a really hard schedule this year. I mean, we're playing some really tough teams. So we're trying to really take one game at a time to kind of breaking down film a lot, learning from our mistakes, trying to keep everybody healthy, and really just trying to break down fundamentals.
We were just not finishing. I think our tips weren't that good, but we just needed to shoot on goal instead of trying to get a corner. And I think we did that really well in the second half.
Yeah, we were slowed down the first half, definitely. And I think we had to adjust our style of gameplay, and once we did that, I think it worked well and we were able to put the goals away in the second half.
I think being an amateur team a little bit, we try and do a little more finesse in the circle to try and get, you know, really pretty shots off instead of just getting the ball to the cage. So I think we definitely talked about needing to shoot earlier and more often, and, you know, really make the goalie make the saves and the defense step up. So I think we just tried to, you know, change the mindset a little bit just to, you know, shoot a little earlier in the circle.
It was our first and only time this year, so we just had to get used to the field, and then we warmed up. We came a little early so we could get used to the grass, and I think we got used to it really fast and it worked for us.
Coming in, we knew just like every other year we were going to play those tough teams multiple times. It was just how we came out for those tough teams, and if we could put it away and be able to make districts and make it into playoffs, because it's a different type of play in playoffs and you play different teams, and it's challenging, but not as challenging as going against the same people that are that tough all the time.
We do have a lot of experience, but we do have some girls that aren't experienced, and they're really stepping up, and I think we're all working as a team, and being used to playing with the same girls every year, I think it helped us a lot this year, and we're getting it done this year.
We have Kara, all the Cunninghams. They're really good people. They're definitely very fit, very quick. I think that's probably one of our strengths, is having a very quick first line. So I think that helps us with scoring goals and being teams.
The girls are working really hard. I mean, I'm super proud of them. We're being competitive in every game for the most part. The adversity of just playing these different surfaces, and then I have the four playing soccer that are doing a phenomenal job playing both. So we have a lot that we're overcoming this year.
Final segment of RCN Sports Talk. Our special guest this segment, Phil Stamball, along with Austin Colias and Mitch Daniel. Let's go right to our roundtable, a mix of local, regional, national topics for our guys. First of all, topic number one, what's the toughest individual matchup that you had this year? Austin, we'll start with you.
Definitely have to go with Southern Lehigh. They really played tough against us. I believe it was a 3.5-hour game. It was a real bloodbath, so we'll definitely remember that one for a while.
Mitch, how about you?
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with Austin. The Southern Lehigh game was definitely a battle. A lot of guys were banged up. We gutted it through and came away with the win, though.
Yeah. Phil, any one sticks out so far?
I mean, obviously that game was a measuring stick for us early. But also Palisades, the first game of the year. Mm-hmm. We expect to see them down the road, potentially for a district title. So, I think our kids have risen to each challenge, and it's going to be excited. We've got some big matchups coming up down the road.
Very good. Okay, next one, topic number two, best thing about the Colonial League. Keith, we'll start this one off again.
Well, I think it's clearly the fact that they're smaller schools, but everybody gets involved. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a big event when you go up to Northwestern. It's a big event when you go to Northern Lehigh, and just about any place, even Bangor, which has struggled. I think it's a pretty cool atmosphere up there. Notre Dame, another great atmosphere. And also, second thing, camaraderie. There's a camaraderie in the Colonial League. Everybody usually pulls together and roots for each other, unlike the EPC where everybody hates each other most of the time.
Yeah. Phil, how about you?
I agree with Keith. I like that each stadium is kind of unique. And, Notre Dame was described in the one newspaper as a well-lit graveyard in years past. And that has now changed, and it's kind of like the place to be if you want to see some good football. And I'm proud of that, and I know our kids are too, you know, to be uh, to be turning the program around.
Yeah. Mitch, how about you?
What I like about the Colonial League is the amount of hate we get and the doubt.
Inspires you.
Yeah, for us, it just drives us to just keep winning, keep doing our thing.
Austin, how about you? Favorite thing about the Colonial League?
I agree that the atmosphere is the best thing, because when people think of the Colonial League, they definitely think that, you know, it's full of small schools, but, you know, every school really cares about their football program. They bring a great atmosphere.
All right, and the next topic, what's your favorite road stadium to play in? You talked about playing at Notre Dame, but where do you like to go on the road? Austin?
I really like to go up to Saucon. I usually play in big games against them, and a lot of people show up, so those are always fun. Yeah.
Mitch?
Yeah, I love going up to Saucon, too. I love the grass there. It's green, soft. It's nice to get tackled on, honestly.
Kind of unique, too, where everyone's on one side here. Oh, yeah. Wait, someone else wants to weigh in here. Go ahead.
Is that the grass?
The grass is green.
Does it like
nice grass compared to what we have?
I mean, anything's good compared to what we have. Yeah.
Well, that's why it's home field advantage, I guess.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. Phil?
For me, it was Northern Lehigh for different reasons. My wife graduated from there.
Oh, and one of the great athletes at Bulldogs history, by the way.
And we also got knocked out of the state playoffs 2 years in a row there.
That's right, yeah.
So for us going up there and getting a win 2 weeks ago was a big monkey off my back and some of the kids that had played there and had watched their teammates' seasons, careers end there, because we expect to be back there later this year.
All right, we're out of time. Phil, thanks for coming in. Continued success
thanks,
to you
guys.
And your team.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
For Keith, I'm Chris. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next Thursday live at 7 o'clock, everyone. Good night.